Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Wrestling Goons Radio, the podcast from the Ottawa scene for the Ottawa scene. And today we are bringing you the recap of WWE Battleground 2016 that happened last night. Lots of things that we saw coming, lots of things that we didn't saw coming. We're going to get into all that. We want to thank all of our listeners on Max Sports Channel, the Power Station FM, and the online radio stations. You can find us at on our website, WrestlingGoonsRadio.blogspot.com, and soon to be WrestlingGoonsRadio.com. We're working on that in the process. You can find all of our social media. Check us out on all those. And find us on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a like and subscribe and a comment and a rating. It would greatly, greatly help us. Before I bring in my co-host here, I want to say that we have a fundraiser right now for Wrestling Goons Radio. It's on Fundly. I decided not to do GoFundMe at Kickstarter, but it is very fastly spreading on Facebook right now. So if you're one of the people that have it, we want to encourage you to keep sharing it, keep spreading the word, and every donation we promise you is going to make this product a better product for you. And that is why we do this show. And now it is time to get into what you listen for, and that is professional wrestling. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to the show, the artist formerly known as Brian Coffin, he is now your new co-host of Wrestling Goons Radio, Adam Coffin. Adam, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me again, sir.
So we got a lot to get into. Why don't we go ahead and start with the pre-show? And I want to talk first about Cesaro's promo. It felt awkward on Monday with the fans kind of seemed to really like it. However, on this pre-show promo, he was lost on trying to find his words. I understand he's upset about not being on the card. I get that. Does Cesaro intentionally come off as not being speaking English as a rib on Vince? Or is this a legit issue in the WWE is going to have to address?
I mean, he's kind of addressed it himself. I feel like it's a legitimate issue that he has. Whether or not it's an actual issue or they're making it worse than it is. I mean, they're obviously probably using it as a reason to hold him back.
I'm saying, do you think that he's acting like he can't talk, or is this legitimately him stumbling over his words?
Oh, no, I think he's legitimately stumbling over his words.
Okay, yeah, I kind of got that impression, too. I know a lot of people said he was acting. Because I don't know about you, I've seen his stuff on the JBL and Cole show and other YouTube videos. Like, this guy has charisma. There's just some reason why that light goes on, man. It just doesn't come across. His in-ring work is fantastic. So we both agree on that. And hopefully this is going to get him going somewhere. He was not on the card tonight. The first pre-show match with the Usos and Breezango. I'll be honest with you, Adam. I wasn't too excited about this match going into it. However, the crowd helped this match out a lot because they really hated the Usos. And the finish was the Uso splash that Tyler Breeze was able to roll up into a small cradle and get the easy, quick win. This match told the story that I felt like it needed to tell, and it really got the show started off on a great start when the crowd hyped up. What were your thoughts on it?
The match itself wasn't bad. The energy was good. It was a good kickoff match. I'm glad to see that Breezango, even though I hate saying that name, picked up the victory over the Usos. So it's probably a foreshadowing as to how the Usos ended the night.
Yeah, holding Dean Ambrose up, that was really weird. We'll get into that later. Do you feel like that the Usos now on SmackDown without Roman and with a lack of tag team, is this their chance to turn heel? Because when you heard the booze last night, just like that, and we've been hearing them since the Dudley Boys.
Yeah, but they're getting booze, I think, mainly because they're getting associated with Roman.
But will they be more associated with Roman now that they're awake?
They need to probably disassociate themselves, but I don't know if a heel turn would be necessary, but they're definitely not getting the cheers as a face, so you might as well do what works.
Completely agree. So Breezango gets the win here. Were you happy about that?
Yeah, I was pretty cool with that. I mean, I like Tyler Breeze a lot. Not a big fan of Fandango, but yeah, for what it was a good match for them to pick up the victory with.
Yeah, I thought it was a great way to start the show. But the pre-show only had one match. I thought that was really good. They used the rest of the time to focus on the importance in the card. And I got to be honest, there were a couple of very few down spots in this card. But this card delivered. I'm telling you, for a B-minus pay-per-view, it went way above expectations. And we're going to start with the 2-on-1 handicap match, and to no surprise to anyone, unless you lived under a rock, Bayley was Charlotte's mystery partner. Now, Brian, the arena erupted when Bayley's music hit, and apparently, I've heard this is a one and done. What was your thought on the reaction of Bayley? The match itself and this alleged she's going back to NXT.
Well, first off, I mean, I'm not going to even humor the idea of her going back to NXT because I think that's just garbage. As far as her entrance coming out, I got goosebumps. I don't know if anybody else did, but I did.
Well, I did. I'm a grown man. I can say I did too.
I mean, it was a feel-good moment. It was one of those moments that you kind of were hoping for, and you're like, oh my God, they actually listened and did the right thing, which is few and far between sometimes with WWE. So it was nice that I'm honestly surprised in a way that she got such a big pop. Like, I knew they were going to pop for her, but that arena just like exploded when she came out.
The look on Sasha's face was almost the best part of it. Like, she legitimately felt the happiness of Bayley finally being there exploding through her. And I felt it too. Like you said, it was just a feel-good moment. The match itself, when it kind of sloppy at times, yeah, I mean, Dana Brooke's not a great worker anyway. And Bayley, I'm sure she had nerve coming into this. I felt like they did a good way to protect her, but man, Brian, that finish with the bank statement, the way he had Sasha, or Charlotte, contorted back, I liked how long it took Charlotte to tap out, because she seemed to be the fighting champion there. She wasn't going to give up. What did you think of the finish?
No, that finish was nice. It was brutal, though. I mean, I agree with you. I like the way that she took a little bit longer to tap out than just giving her the victory. So that was kind of cool. Did you see the part where Dana Brooke starts pulling her out of the ring?
Yeah.
The first time she put it on her?
Yeah. And I was wondering about Charlotte pulling a hamstring doing that.
I mean, even the announcers are like, well, be careful how you pull her. Be careful.
Right. I mean, she just yanked while she's in a hole. Didn't notice that. I'm guessing the fallout from that. Like you said, I don't want to entertain the idea of Bayley going back in it too, but all indications are this was a one and done, which, like I said, if anybody heard that reaction last night, I am not sure why this is a one and done. She doesn't have anything left to prove it in it. Am I right?
I mean, that's an accurate statement, but you have to keep in mind it could be a double duty kind of thing like Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens did as well, so.
But I'd be okay with that. As long as we get a Bayley on the main roster somewhere, I'll be fine with it.
Because I don't think Bayley really got her send-off from NXT yet either.
Not really, no. I mean, I guess I would agree with that. We'll follow this match for him.
Let me look at our match card, see what we got. Looks like we had the Wyatt family versus the New Day.
My family and the New Day. So, I want to get your opinions first on this feud now that the Wyatts are kind of split up here, and just go ahead and tell me what your thoughts were at this match play itself.
Well, I'm trying to stay away from the whole Matt Hardy thing because I honestly think that it's coincidence, and maybe that's naivete of mine, but I think that it's coincidence that the whole Matt Hardy thing came about and then the compound thing happened. But either way, the feud itself is great. I think that the Wyatts have been pushed in the way that they haven't been, but they should have been this whole time. Like, they've been made out to be these destructive people, and I love the fact that they've given Bray somewhat of like mind control skills, I guess you could say. And I feel like that's something they should have done with him a long time ago, because they called him New Face of Fear for a reason and they did nothing with it. So I think it's a really good feud for them. I kind of wish that the ending would have happened a little differently.
Yeah, I think that was my one complaint, is if you watch Monday Night Raw, this is the same thing as we had on Raw, and I get that the spider crawl puts him in a trance, but it isn't like the trance makes him fall right into the move. He tries to fight it off. So, you know, the story connecting there just kind of bothers me a little bit. Braun Strowman no longer being in the Wyatt family. Early indication a couple of months ago that when Luke Harper returns, he won't be. Do you feel like now that he has to be a Wyatt, or can Bray Wyatt just use random people whenever he wants to do his dirty work?
It's kind of a tough one, actually, because I don't feel like Bray Wyatt and Eric Rowan can carry that team by themselves. And I think that they need somebody there with a different dynamic than what they bring. And Luke Harper is the perfect person to do that. Because you have Braun Strowman. I get them getting him away from the Wyatts, but still associating with the Wyatts, because they've been rumoring a push for him anyway. So I just feel like the Wyatts need that guy that can bring something different, the high flyer, the strength.
Let me give a shout out to the Wrestling Goons, which is the group that this podcast was founded on. And in that group last night, many people were suggesting that Sister Abigail be changed. I'm going to just go ahead and tell you right now, Adam, I think that is a terrible idea, for the simple fact that I don't think that Sister Abigail would be a terrible idea. But you don't take somebody with an identity such as Paige that has already been an identity for 5 years now, and all of a sudden we discover she's a Wyatt. I would have a big problem with that. Am I right or wrong?
I mean, it seems kind of pointless to do that. If you've already got her established as one character, why go and change it just to suit that? You've got all kinds of avenues you could go find somebody to be that character.
So you heard it here from Wrestling Goons Radio, folks. Stop your propaganda. Paige is not going to be Sister Abigail. Let's it go.
Turn the page and get a different story.
That's Bob Finger reference. So, now that the New Day is 0-2 against the Wyatts, and I also want to bring out, and you mentioned on last week's episode, the Wyatts were 3-1 on the Shield. Is this misconception that the Wyatts are booked weekly actually a misconception?
I mean, it could be a misconception. It could be that we focus on all the bad things that happen, but we look at the things like WrestleMania, where his whole identity of the Wyatts and Bray Wyatt and what they stand for is just torn down in front of us by one person. I mean, that they don't get booked that great. I mean, they get in shitty matches, and you know, they usually lose the matches that they should win, and they win the meaningless matches. So I don't know. It could go either way.
Makes plenty of sense there.
I mean, tell me one big moment that they've had in WWE.
I mean, other than that big debut, I really liked when they had all the kids surrounding the cage of Cena. That was pretty big, and I think they were involved in the biggest pop I've ever seen whenever they had the Bray Wyatt Daniel Bryan cage match. But I see what you're saying, though. Like, overall, they're not focused consistently the way they should.
Yeah, because I mean, you look at the Wyatt family, and they may be booked strong in some matches, but their consistency with their storytelling is not there.
Completely, completely. And now with Braun Strowman out of it, who knows? This is going to be like another loop that we got to figure out. So
hopefully they'll push Bray Wyatt as Bray Wyatt, and not to where he needs somebody to fight his battles for him. So, and by the way, kudos to Bray Wyatt, because I'm digging this new slim look of his.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely putting in the work. I am going to disagree. I think that because he's a cult leader, followers are what makes Bray Wyatt Bray Wyatt. But I do like your idea that he needs to do more on his own as well. I think you could find a balance between the two, and that would be the perfect combination, in my opinion. Correct me if I'm wrong, but are we now at the Darren Young and the Miz match?
Let's see, we are at Rusev versus Zack Ryder.
I actually got to put out of my memory, folks.
Yeah, I'm sure you tried to subconsciously shut that one out.
If you listen to the WWE announcement, especially JBL, they're going to try to convince you that Zack Ryder was this close away, and I'm here to tell you that that's false advertisement. Rusev dominating this guy. And that accolade he puts in when he falls back on it, that should be illegal.
Yeah, but that was a interesting match. I wouldn't say that Zack Ryder is very close. But the accolade was pretty nasty. But to agree with you, I wouldn't say that he was close at all to winning. They made it for sure seem like it. And the crowd actually was excited because I think that they thought that Zack Ryder had a chance to win. And so they got excited when Zack Ryder was trying to break out of the accolade the first time. And I actually thought that he was going to do it.
Yeah, I didn't. I had no hope of it at all. But what I will say is that Cesaro is going to be a perfect fit for this. Like, if they're trying to find a role to put Cesaro in, Cesaro is believable enough to hang with Rusev. Is there anybody else you can see besides Cesaro, or is the guy Cesaro?
I think the best choice would be Cesaro. I could see ADR beating him. So, I mean, there's other options, but to book it right, you need to book him against a face, and a face that's already over, which would be Cesaro.
Completely agree on that, for sure. All right, so what do we got next?
Well, before we get into that, I was going to say, have you noticed that Darren Young and Zack Ryder are, like, the same people?
I mean, yeah, they're pretty much become the comedy act of the comedy.
I mean, they have the same tights. They have the same body build. And basically, they move the same. It's just one's black and one's white.
They're grading him. That way we can get Mojo Rawley by himself. Which, by the way, he ran in for the same and stared down Rusev. And Rusev backed away, which I'm gotta be honest, that took away, like, negative and gold points from me, Rusev.
It took away what for you?
Negative head. Like, I was upset that Rusev didn't stomp this guy screaming in his face for no reason when you don't even know who this guy is, disrespecting you in your ring, when you didn't beat the crap out of his friend. He should have put him in his place.
It's like Zack Ryder's that kid that was poking fun at Rusev, and Rusev just beat him up. And Mojo Rawley's that guy that just walked up like, hey, why are you fighting my friend? But you have no idea what's going on. Why are you in here right now?
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna be like. I don't know why, but I'm gonna punch him too.
And then they made it seem like it was such a big deal that he was coming out there to face him.
I like. And
he got no pop.
Yeah, whatsoever. That's what they should be. So everybody knows Anthony Hamrick hates Mozell Rawley more than anybody else on the roster.
That's because you don't stay hyped, sir.
I know, well, call it what it is. I enjoy the guy and all he does for charity and kids, but that's not what I pay to see. I pay to see you wrestle, and your wrestling sucks. And I'll leave it at that.
Well, are you ready for some actual wrestling? Some real wrestling?
Yeah.
Okay, next we have Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens.
So this was before the Darren Young thing. Okay. Sir, this match here was... I mean, we both know that I'm Kevin Owens Mark and Sami Zayn Mark. So you can say I'm biased, what have you. And you like them both too, so we can take this at face value. This match, when you're chanting Fight Forever and it goes on another 10 minutes, I don't know what more to say than that. I was on the edge of my seat, and as a Kevin Owens, I'll go ahead and say it, I'm his biggest fan on the planet. This was the one time I was so happy he lost. Sami finally got his redemption, and one haluva kick wasn't enough. He had to hit a second with Kevin Owens' lifeless body laying on him. It really showed the vengeance within Sami Zayn. I can't say enough good things about this match, Adam, so I'll go ahead and get your thoughts on it.
I mean, anytime that you have these two guys in the ring together, it's going to be a good match. I mean, that's just all it is to it. It's, in terms of the brutality, the storytelling, you know, despite the one nasty mishap by Sammy trying to do that flip from the top rope.
Well, thank God he's okay. That looked so bad.
It did, and kudos to them to start targeting the arm and the shoulder. So, you know, Wrestling 101, we got psychology. Immediately going after the arm just to wear it down so that possibly he couldn't hit the Blue Thunder Bomb. And then the two kicks by Sami Zayn. When he does it the first time and Kevin Owens goes to fall and you have Sami Zayn catching him, was almost as if he felt compassion for Owens. Like he didn't want him to fall. Like, and then he kind of just felt pity for him. Like, this is what you did this. Like, when you backstabbed me.
See, I got the wrong impression. I got the completely different one. If you ever watch something like The Godfather, where somebody has betrayed the family and they go to the other family, and you finally get him in that room, you really want him to know, like, you broke his heart. And I think while Kevin's laying there motionless, Sammy's like, now I have control of you. Now look at you, you pathetic piece of crap. And I think that's when he let him have it again. And rightfully so, because Kevin Owens had tortured this man ever since he made his debut in NXT.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I'm hoping that for now that the feud's over, just because they're both so great in the ring. I would like to see them venture out to different feuds for now.
And I mean too, and I want to touch on that, because you're sitting here saying that this is the last match, the ending match. They're on the same show, so you can't tell me they're not going to cross paths, you know?
Once they become tag team partners.
I know, we're both hoping out for that. So, okay. All right, where are we at now, bro?
Right now, we are at the possibly worst match of the night. Yeah, you already know which one this is. Natalya versus Becky Lynch.
Let's go ahead and start with the obvious, and folks, this is not a shot at any drug users in the world. And if you're not a drug user, you wouldn't understand. And to Becky Lynch, I apologize if you are playing, but I'm telling you that trending worldwide last night was Becky Lynch and all kind of other meth heads. Brian, she looked so strung out in her interview.
I mean, she might have been sharing the same Adderall with Roman Reigns.
Oh, Byron, Byron Roman.
I mean, they really put on a clinic last night, though.
The match itself wasn't terrible.
Yeah, it was terrible, sir. It made me want to do meth just so I can enjoy it.
Nice.
So Vince Russo does weed so he can enjoy Raw. I do meth so I can enjoy Becky Lynch matches.
My problem would be the finish where you got her in the sharpshooter what felt like a minute and a half. And how many times now have we seen Becky Lynch tap out to a finisher when she's trying to fight for the rope? I just don't know how many times you can tell the same story without officially burying the character. Is there any hope on SmackDown for Becky Lynch to revitalize her career?
I mean, it's possible, but I mean, I'm a little biased because I don't like Natalya. So I feel like putting her in a match with Natalya just kind of degrades her talent a little bit. So.
That's fair enough.
She needs to be put in a legitimate feud to where, because I'm sick and tired of seeing the best friend storylines where, oh my God, you know, you need somebody to help you fight so-and-so, we'll just bring out Paige for no reason.
Unless it was Sasha and Becky. That's the only explanation we're getting.
Right, and it's just, it's useless right now.
I agree. I don't like when you drop views on, like, total news. Just because you have a two things at the time, I can't stand it. So.
Like, Becky Lynch needs to get in a feud with Eva Marie.
Correct me if I'm wrong, then we have no Sheamus or Del Rio on this card either.
That is correct, sir.
That is unbelievable. Like, the number of people that were not on this card were astounding. I think we're now at the John, the club, and Enzo and Cass and John Cena, aren't we?
We are actually at The Miz and Darren Young again. I could see why you would shut this match out.
I keep doing that. I keep moving one match ahead.
You're trying to skip ahead subconsciously, and it's completely understandable.
I'm behind on the Darren Young thing. I like it a lot.
You're behind on it?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. What I'm not behind, Brian, and Adam, and you can tell me if I'm overreacting or not, can you please explain to me the finish of the match? Because I've slept on it, I've rewatched it, and the only explanation I have for that ref ringing the bell is the Miz put his hands on Bob Backlund. Other than that, Darren Young gets out of the ring, which breaks the 10 count, so that's irrelevant. The chicken wing is a legal move on the outside of the ring. You didn't use weapons. Why was this match disqualified?
Well, the official ruling from WWE.com is the double disqualification. And my only theory as to why that could be a double disqualification is they haven't unbanned the chicken wing since Bob Backlund got it banned back in the day.
He's already won a couple of matches with
him. Oh, has he? Yeah. I don't have cable, so it makes it hard for me to see those. I don't know, because, I mean, it's possible that I blacked out along with Darren Young, because I looked up at the TV screen, and all I see is Bob Backlund shirtless laying on the ground, and Darren Young's putting the chicken wing on the Miz, and the rest ringing the bell. So I'm confused with you, because I see nothing that would give reason for a disqualification.
Let's not forget that you got Maurice in the background falling down for no reason after no one had touched her. And the referee looked at her like, so what? So I don't even know why you have that spot if the ref isn't even going to acknowledge it. It just felt like a really bad cluster, the whole thing. I I'm gonna probably give this my worst segment of the night, to be honest with you. It was just really, really bad.
How about the fact that they're trying to emulate the Bob Backlund thing with Darren Young?
Bob Backlund is just so crazy and out there, and is so different than what Darren Young is. I think the opposite's the threat on this. I mean, it's entertaining. Are you shocked that the WWE is giving Darren Young a push without acknowledging his sexuality? And could they make more of a profit off of doing that?
I don't really know that they would profit too much off of it. I mean,
LGBT community, they would probably get way behind that.
Who would get behind it?
The LGBT community, I could see them supporting a guy that is openly in a profession that they can invest money.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. You could always end up putting them in a feud with Jinder Mahal again or something.
Yeah, that's something that gets them over. But that's just my thought on it. But I think they're doing it the right way. They're trying to build him a character that isn't as much about who Darren Young is outside the ring, as much as this is just a character in the ring. Do you think that eventually he's taking the title off the Miz?
I don't know about that one. That's the way they're building it. And either they're doing that or they just needed to put the Miz on the card. I'm not sure. The only other way I could see it going is they're just trying to focus on Darren Young and the evolution of him as a character before they put a belt on him. Because it could be when he finally just snaps 100%, that's when he picks up the belt.
And I believe that now brings us to the club and John Cena and Enzo Amore, as I aforementioned. Adam, I'll go ahead and let you start. John Cena did not say two words. He handed the microphone to Enzo Amore, and there's something about that guy, no matter where he's at, that whatever he says might sound so stupid at the time, but when he's done saying it, all you want to do is laugh and get on your feet. And I don't know if that's a combination of the energy he has behind it or just how quick-witted he is. It's obvious John Cena's a fan, but next to the Bailey pop, that was the loudest the arena got all night. The segment went kind of long, but were you okay with it?
It did go long, but it was still entertaining throughout the entire process. So where it may have come off as long-winded, it was still funny. The whole don't stare in somebody's eyes when you're eating a banana, or don't make eye contact with somebody when you're eating a banana.
Don't eat yellow snow. Don't be in the wind.
I mean, it's great. In terms of the match, I mean, it could have been better for me. I think that this is the first time that I've finally seen John Cena as a hindrance to a match.
Yeah, it was almost like he was a third wheel. And I'll also say, if this is the way that the club is bringing up, which apparently, Adam, I don't know if you heard or not, but their WWE tweets say, we are not broken up. We are just dividing and conquering. It appears like AJ Styles may be adding his own club to SmackDown. And it's Finn Balor tonight on Monday Night Raw. But tune into Raw tonight. You're going to want to. If he has Anderson and Gallows, could we have the club running both shows?
I mean, it's completely possible. I mean, they're... all the new shirt that they have out, it's got all three of them on it. As far as you've got AJ Styles logo on it, and you've got the Good Brothers logo on it. So, I mean, they're still together, obviously. So I'm curious as to see who he would pick.
I totally dig the Japanese writing on their outfits and paint on them to where they came from. And that finisher they have, it's brutal. So the match itself, I think we all knew John Cena was winning. Only for the simple fact that AJ is winning at every house show. So we know whatever happened at house show, the opposite thing happens on the card. So with that being said, John Cena and AJ Styles are still on the same show. Are they done here, or are we going to see them go on forever?
I don't think they're done yet. I think they're going to want a big match for AJ Styles and Cena at SummerSlam. So Cena's 1-1, AJ's 1-1, right?
Yeah, they're 1-1.
So we got a rubber match coming at SummerSlam?
So here's where I want to... Are we at the main event now, or is there some other filler crap?
I mean, we are at the highlight reel.
Highlight reel was kind of filler crap.
But that was funny.
It was funny. It started off really bad, I'll just be honest. But it picked up steam. First off, let's just go ahead and let the elephant in the room put it out there. Randy Orton has found the Golden Buffet, and he hasn't left it. Is Randy going to be wrestling with a shirt on Sunday?
Why do you think he... You think you said he got a gut?
Yeah, Randy, I don't know if you know, Randy has a gut.
Oh, I don't know about that, sir. I wasn't paying that much attention.
I could watch that. He always looked like Kevin Owens. And it was trending games about how big Randy Orton had looked. The banner back and forth with Jericho, it was, like I said, it was slow at first. Until he said the name Fandango, which got the crowd to pop like crap. And then the no enhancement needed shot at Brock Lesnar. Adam, I don't think that was scripted. I think he went off the script. As you can tell, the face that he and Jericho both made when Jericho said, I think you're going to pay for that one. And Orton said, I think you're probably right. Do you think Brock Lesnar found humor in that? Or can Randy Orton be looking at a life insurance policy?
I wouldn't be surprised if it was off script, because based on Jericho's reaction to it, I think it completely threw him off. I don't think Jericho was expecting that. But he's definitely going to Suplex City, that's for sure. This we know. My question is he going to be able to take Brock Lesnar to Viperville?
And that's the thing. He said it only takes one. I think he's underestimating Brock Lesnar, the guy who took a curb stomp and popped right back up in the same motion and hit an F5. So, yeah, I'm not sure one RKO is going to get the job done there.
And one RKO is not going to do the trick.
And I don't think Randy Orton has a shot in hell of winning the match. I think it's going to be a decent match, but Brock Lesnar is winning this match. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. I think we're at the Shield now, correct?
We are at the main event.
At the Shield, and great match. I'm just going to put it out there. And me and Adam here have went off on rants for a long time at you, IWC, for your disrespect for wrestlers before the bell even rings. You're taking away from the story that the match is trying to tell. And like, for instance, booing Roman Reigns for the outside dropkick, I don't see how you can boo something when it's a perfect move that did its job. This hate of Roman Reigns is going too far, Adam, and do you think it took away from the main event?
I mean, it always takes away from the show to some degree. I've just kind of stopped focusing on the crowd because they're going to boo him just to boo him. I mean, like some people have said in the discussion group we have going, you know, at the live event when he returned and people didn't know he was returning, they immediately started cheering for him. But then halfway through the cheers, they're like, oh, wait, we're supposed to boo him. So then they started booing him. But like, they're just doing it just to be marks. I mean, that's all it is.
I thoroughly enjoyed the powerbomb spot, Roman going through. That was great. And I also enjoyed them literally beaming Roman down. That, things like that just get the crowd going. For the finish, Dean Ambrose getting the sneaky win over Roman Reigns. Now, I really thought that he was going to get it over Rollins, and Roman was going to be in the finish. Do you feel like this was part of Roman's punishment that he took the pinfall?
I don't necessarily feel like that would be his punishment. And it's possible. I honestly felt like it should have been Roman versus Reigns as far as who lost. I don't know. Maybe they just got themselves disqualified or counted out. Or there was no disqualifications, were there?
No, there weren't any, which also made me a little crazy. Because after the firebomb and celebrating, Dean grabbed the chair. And I'm sitting here going, wait a minute, if you're going to use chairs the whole time, why are we just getting them out at the 17-minute mark?
Who knows? I mean, I feel like that they could have done something different with Roman and Seth. Like, I don't know if they're going to continue a feud, seeing Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns are on the same show.
Yeah, I definitely think they are. I think we're going to get more fallout from them tonight.
So then you kind of think that there would have been some reason for the other person to lose based on what they did. So, like, if Rollins was to cause Roman Reigns to lose, then Reigns would be pissed off at him.
Well, here you're going to have Roman saying, I had you, you were done. And if it wasn't for my brother, you know, taking advantage, you would have been done. And then Seth was always in denial and still saying, no way, I had you both me because I'm the architect. I can see it working. What I don't see is what's next for Dean Ambrose. Now, he's going to take this belt to SmackDown. You have guys like AJ Styles, but we assume he's going to be in the queue with John Cena. Randy Orton? Looking at the SmackDown roster, you don't have many main eventers that can fight a world heavyweight kid.
I mean, the people...
Brian, are you with us?
Sorry, yeah. I was having some TNA issues. So, yeah, the people that I look forward to seeing fight Dean Ambrose are on Raw right now. So, yeah, I would like to see Owens go after the belt, you know, against Dean Ambrose, but it's not going to happen right now. So, I don't know. It's weird. SmackDown seems like it's the lighter weight people. Have you noticed?
Yeah, no, I really have. Daniel Bryan alluded to it on the pre-show, talking about how he got tired of the authority figures picking and choosing who is at the top, and that he will give opportunities to people that have never had them. And while I can respect that, you still need your main event built around main event stars. And they do have them, but for God's sakes, if you're going to give me a John Cena, Randy Orton feud and tell me that's the show, I can promise you that we're all going to throw up.
I mean, you've got AJ Styles. Obviously, he's going to be the face of SmackDown, in my opinion. So you've got AJ Styles versus Cena. It's possible that once the feud's over, we'll have a heel AJ Styles going after Dean Ambrose.
And let's not forget Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt is on the show.
Oh, Bray Wyatt's on SmackDown?
Yeah, Bray Wyatt and Eric Rowan.
Oh, hell. No, that's done then. That's a renewal of a feud right there. Bray Wyatt's first title is going to be off of Dean Ambrose.
I completely agree. I have a feeling that this is going to be the first title reign for Bray Wyatt. And I've always said he doesn't need a belt. But in this situation, I would love to see Bray Wyatt at the
championship. Oh, that's going to be great. Can't wait to see that.
Got that to look forward to. And let's end the show before we get the final thoughts there, Brian. I want to ask you. A lot of people in the group seem to think I was making a big deal out of nothing. But before the main event, you had the Raw locker room and the SmackDown locker room all watching it together. Now, we've seen them do this before in draft. This is nothing new. However, you got Xavier Woods eating Booty-O's like nothing has happened 5 minutes ago where he was in a trench and falling to Sifter Avenue again. He got Braun Strowman 5 feet away from him, looking around like howdy doody. You got Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn in the same room when they literally just killed each other. I did not like the dynamic of this at all. And especially at the end of the night with The Miz standing behind Dean Ambrose clapping. Now, I get it shows brand unity. But do you feel like the heels were necessary in that? And let's not mention the Usos holding up Dean Ambrose after getting a clean, stealing a win from their cousin.
Personally, I feel like if you're going to do backstage segments like that where everybody is drawn together or brought together as a whole, heels don't need to be a part of it. Heels.
I'm right, you said I don't know, one more time. I'm going to have to agree with Brian. I don't like the idea of heels being part of those celebrations together. Seen it done many times before, and I get the point that we're going to have the faces of the company have to come out and show company unity. But to me, you can just do that without having the faces have the heels mixed up. I just don't agree with it. It's not my philosophy. Call me old school if you want. Brian had to go ahead and leave the show early, so I'm going to go ahead and give you your grade and your worst and best performance of the night. And this thing fluctuated a lot for me, but in the end, the best match of the night for me by far, and can't be touched, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, they stole the show. The triple threat match gave it a close second, but Rusev and Ryder was awful. They could never ever match like that on pay-per-view again. And that's my consensus on that. I'm going to give it an A plus. I'm sure Adam will let you know on Twitter his thoughts whenever he's able to get back on. So for Adam and myself, Anthony Hammond, I want to thank you once again for tuning into this episode of Wrestling Goons Radio. You can catch us online at WrestlingGoonsRadio.blogspot.com and soon to be at WrestlingGoonsRadio.com. You can find us online at all of our social media links, Facebook, Instagram, Google+, Twitter, and anywhere else. That's where we're at, folks. Find us on iTunes and Stitcher and give us a like and subscribe and rate us, because as always, it would greatly appreciate it. As I said, my name is Anthony Hammond, and for Adam Compton, this is the podcast from the IWC, and we will see you.